We want to honor the Lord together with our singing, so join us as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
One. Welcome, church family, guests, and friends. We're delighted to have you join us for worship on this fourth Sunday of May. And I hope that you'll be inspired and challenged in song, prayer, and in ministry of the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to know you, to worship you, to look to you. We trust that your Spirit will be at work to minister to our hearts. We pray that in all these things, you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a couple of announcements. Perhaps one of the biggest things on people's minds right now is the question, has there been any conversation about reopening the church? And the answer is yes, indeed, there has been. In fact, there have already been protocols that have been developed, at least many of them. Some of them, I don't know if you can see on the video or not, but we've made some changes on the platform in terms of distancing the vocalists and so on. In the pews, already there are every other pew is roped off, so there'll be adequate distancing there. And the hymnals are gone. So there won't be a need to touch more things than necessary. They'll all be projected when we get back together in the pews to worship. So those are a few of the things that are up and running. I'm not able to announce a specific date at this point, but hopefully in the near future here we'll be able to do that. Then also just wanted to mention that in your bulletin there's actually a new address for Candle Messenger. And this might be a good opportunity to be thinking of those who are in prison. Perhaps you would want to send a card or jot a note of encouragement. This is a difficult time, especially a difficult time for those behind prison bars. So. At any rate, you can read the rest of the information in the bulletin. Let's continue to worship in song now. You are worthy of my praise.
I will worship.
given the fact that it's the fourth Sunday of the month, it's Children's Message Sunday. So here we are. We've got another video for you this morning. Children, be blessed here.
Are really important.
Things like eating your veggies, brushing your teeth, and wearing your seatbelt.
Did you know the Bible tells us there's something that's more important than all those?
Well, that's what we're talking about today. Kids should obey their parents.
You don't have to obey your dog or your little sister.
But you do have to obey your parents.
Do you know what it means to really obey?
It means when your parents tell you to stop doing something, like picking your nose or hitting your little sister, then you stop doing those things. But obeying isn't just stopping when you're told.
It also means you go and do the things they ask you to do. Things like doing your homework or cleaning your room.
Now, you may not always want to obey your parents, but here's three reasons why you should.
First, because the Bible says so. Don't believe me? It's right here, memory verse.
Obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. See, kids, it's in the Bible, so that means it's part of God's message to us.
If God says we should do it, we should definitely do it.
In fact, this is what the Bible says specifically to us kids.
It doesn't say, hey kids, go get a job and be sure to exercise every day. It simply says, listen to your parents and do what they say.
Second, because it pleases the Lord. That means it makes God happy. Don't you want to make God happy?
We should all want that. It's what we're supposed to do as Christians.
And if you want to be really good at making God happy when you're older,
you should definitely start right now. Last reason, because it protects us.
Let's demonstrate with this big hula hoop. It's a big O. O for obedience.
The Bible says God's rules and our parents are there for our protection.
So think of the O in obedience as a circle of protection. When we obey, we are safe. When we disobey, we are in danger.
Stay in the boundaries your parents set and you're safe. Step out, you're gonna be in trouble.
Get the idea. It's for your protection.
So remember, kids, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, wear your seatbelt. But most importantly, remember to obey your parents.
Well, we appreciate the ministry, the video ministry of PursueGod.org. Lord, today we just lift before you children in our homes and in our families. It's a stressful time. And we just pray your blessing upon those that are younger and yet feeling in many ways the effects also of what social distancing has required and all of that. So just please encourage and be at work in the lives of children. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I read about three expectant fathers who were in a hospital waiting room and while their wives were in the process of delivering babies. A nurse came in and announced to one man that his wife had just given birth to twins. "That's a coincidence," he said, "because I play for the Minnesota Twins." Later, the nurse returned to announce to the second man that he was the father of triplets. "That's amazing because I work for the 3M company. At that point, the third man slipped off his chair and onto the floor. And the nurse said, are you ill? No, he replied, but I work for 7-Up. Well, God has so designed things that children become a part of families, not of their choosing, but of God's choosing. And God designed the family in such a way that children have a place to be nurtured and cared for. It's in a place where they could be taught the things of God, a place where they would grow into responsible adults, a place where they could learn to love the Lord. Now, as we continue to explore the Ten Commandments, we come to the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and mother. And our text today is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's there on the screen. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, when we started this series, I mentioned that the Ten Commandments were actually intended to strengthen our relationship with the Lord and to strengthen our relationship with each other. The four commandments that we've already looked at sought to strengthen or to protect the relationship with God. And now, starting this morning, the commandment honor your father and your mother, and the remaining commandments seek to strengthen and to protect our relationship with the people around us. What Jesus said regarding all this bears repeating. When a lawyer asks him, what is the great commandment, the great commandment in the law, and Jesus said, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, sometimes people think that this commandment that we're looking at this morning, to honor your father and mother, only has relevance to children, but it actually involves more than that. So what I'd like to do today is to consider the implications, yes, for children, but then also for youth and also for adults. So let's start with the implications of the fifth commandment for children. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, 1 to 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Proverbs 23:22 is similar in that it says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Now, I realize that this actually becomes difficult for some children in that they're growing up in homes that are broken. Some homes are dysfunctional. Some are single-parent families and have unique challenges. I have a book in my personal library that when it first came out, the title captivated me. It's called Fatherless America, Confronting Our Most Urgent Social Problem. Now, you may debate whether that's indeed America's top social ill, but I don't think you can argue the fact that there is a huge breakdown from that which God had intended for the family. God's intention was that a family be a husband and a wife, and that children be born into that household, and that they should have a mom and a dad to raise them. Now, what was God intending when he said, honor your father and your mother? Well, for starters, they were to show respect to their parents in that they would listen, that they would listen to what mom and dad was saying. Kids, you can't honor your parents and blow them off at the same time. As we turn to the New Testament, we have this stated in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Every now and then, I think about this, and I don't know if this has been your experience or not. Perhaps you're walking down the mall and you see a family, or you're out at a park someplace and you see a couple with children, or out on the beach, or perhaps you're even at a portrait studio and you see this family and you think, wow, they look like a really neat family. They look like they'd be the ideal family. But in reality, it might be quite the opposite. The scripture I just read is a snapshot, you see, of a Christian family where both the parents and the children are functioning in a manner that brings glory to God. And in that particular regard, the father doesn't exasperate the children by coming down so hard on them that they give up. Instead, he is taking them by the hand, so to speak, teaching them, guiding them, training them, that they may grow up in the ways of the Lord. Children, then, are to obey their parents. They're to do what mom and dad say. They may not like everything this involves, but it becomes a means of them living for the Lord. As it's put in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, it may not set off the smoke alarm or the carbon monoxide detector, but you know, some households do have a rather toxic environment. The hymn writer recognized, however, that it didn't need to be that way. Happy the home when God is there and love fills everyone. When with united work and prayer, the Master's will is done. Happy the home where God's strong love is starting to appear, where all the children hear his fame and parents hold him dear. Happy the home where prayer is heard, where parents love the sacred word and its true wisdom share. Lord, let us in our homes agree this blessed peace to gain, unite our hearts in love to thee, and love to all will reign. Now, no family is perfect. It simply isn't. But it does make a difference when those within the household are followers of Jesus and are seeking to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Well, we've talked about children. Let's think now about the implications of the fifth commandment for youth. For youth. Ron Meal, in commenting about the matter of honoring father and mother, tells of going to visit a friend that was in the hospital. He was recovering from a really serious kind of surgery. And he said, when I walked into the room, I saw this huge 17-year-old son actually lying in the bed alongside his dad, with the mom sitting in the chair beside the bed. And all of them were together there. They were laughing. They were joking. And I stood in the doorway for a moment. I thought, wow. He said, I was moved. And Ron continued. He said that big kid was not too sophisticated or cool to say, "This is my dad, I love him, and I don't care who knows it." He wanted to be close to him and identify with him, and that closeness meant more to that young man than what anybody else in the world may have thought about it. Now, what does it mean for young people to honor their parents? It's not just showing their concern or letting the folks know that they care when they're in the hospital or going through some difficulty. But to honor your father and mother is to show respect. According to Proverbs 20, verse 20, Proverbs 20, 20, "Whoever curses his father and mother, his lamp will be put out in darkness." Proverbs 30, 17 says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and young eagles will eat it." Rather, graphic kind of imagery there, and yet it does make the point, does it not? You may not always like the rules that your parents have established. You may not always appreciate the standards that they're calling you to. You may think your folks are dreadfully old-fashioned or perhaps just out of touch with today's world. But that doesn't give you the right to treat them or to talk to them in a disparaging manner. If you want to have the blessing of God upon your life, then you need to treat your parents in an appropriate manner. Notice again what was said in the text that we're looking at this morning. Exodus 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." People would recognize the blessing of God upon their lives when they respond and live in accordance with his precepts and his principles. They would experience the wellness of God, his shalom, as they live according to his ways. So, what is it like? What is it like between you and your parents if you're a young person? Do you have a positive relationship or is it fractured? Have you shown respect to your parents, or do you need to seek forgiveness for some reason? You know, on one occasion, Jesus told a parable, and this parable had to do with a couple of young people, a couple of sons. One of the sons was disrespectful. In fact, he was insistent that dad give him his inheritance right away. Here is the account from Luke 15, beginning with verse 11. Jesus, again, is the one that was giving this parable. "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, forgive me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And so he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But what did the father do? He said, we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. He was so excited and so happy for his son's return. The point I'm making here is, or what I'm wanting us to see, is that there was forgiveness and reconciliation and healing that took place. Have you showed contempt for your parents or disrespect? Do you need to seek forgiveness from one or both of your parents? If so, don't put it off. That's the very best thing that can happen. Turn your heart to the Lord. Turn your heart towards home. Make things right. Well, we've talked about children, we've talked about youth, but let's think now a bit about the implications of the fifth commandment for adults. What about those of us that are long out of the home? What about those of us that have families of our own? What about those of us that have not been living at home for decades? Well, to honor our father and mother also involves concern and care for them. It's not just a nicety on Mother's Day or on Father's Day, but it's actually seeing that their needs are taken care of as they get older or face extenuating kind of circumstances. And I realize this all greatly varies. Some people age into their 80s and 90s and beyond even, and are in relatively good health and all is well. But in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13, Jesus got after the scribes and the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Now, korban is not a word that we are familiar with. I don't use it in my everyday conversation. I don't even think about it if Diane and I are playing Scrabble. Do you? Korban, what's up with that? What does it mean? Apparently, when something was korban, it was designated to God or set apart for spiritual purposes. And it sounds very good, does it not? I mean, it sounds very pious, very religious. But in actuality, what was happening here is it was done to duck responsibility. Responsibility to parents in this particular instance where Jesus was getting after folks. As Pat Robertson put it in his book, The Ten Offenses, The trick in all this was the timing. Nothing was given to God in the present. It was a pledge of assets at death. While the children lived, the parents got nothing, the temple got nothing, and they could use their money as they pleased. Now, it's not always finances that are the greatest need either. And again, this varies, you know, among families and situations. Sometimes our aging parents need help with a practical matter. Sometimes they simply need to know that they haven't been forgotten, or that their wisdom and experience is still valued. Do you and I esteem the older members of our family and of our congregation? Do we let them know that they have significance, they have value, they are important, regardless of their age and regardless of their situation at this particular point in time? Yes, children and young people are to listen to what their parents say, but there's also to be a respect and a demonstration of love that is there throughout the years. Honor your father and mother. Lord, we are grateful to you for family. And yes, there are some of us who have come out of broken families. It's not been a happy thing at all. But we pray that that cycle could be broken, Lord, and that we could pick up and become those households of faith, those families that would glorify you, where love could be experienced. Lord, we pray not only for children and for young people growing up in the midst of a lot of temptations and a lot of challenges and a lot of stresses, but also during this particular time, a lot of additional things going on. And yet we also recognize that it's a challenge, oftentimes for mom and dad and for parents. And we ask your blessing upon them as well, that you would grant them grace and peace and bless them, whether they are still in settings where they are parenting at this point in time, or perhaps where they are seeking to be a blessing as grandparents, or whatever the situation is. We thank you, Lord, for all ages, and pray that we would be able to share together in ways that are meaningful, in ways that are edifying, in ways that are Christ-honoring. So, bless our homes and our relationships in our church family as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy the home. Our next song. we continuing to praise the Lord? I'm sure that we are in many regards. There are some folks in our congregation that are certainly rejoicing in the Lord right now. Among them, Carol McCoy, whose heart is back in rhythm. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for Jim Moore's surgery that took place on Friday at Cleveland Clinic. And even though he has a lengthy recovery process, that surgery did go well. We're grateful for that. We're grateful that Barb Yons was able to have the injection for her back, and trust that that will bring relief. But we also want to honor prayer requests from Millie Parsons, who is asking us to pray for her neighbor right across the hall from her by the name of Tom, who is dealing with issues regarding his hip. And we want to be reminded that Mary Slider has her surgery coming up on Wednesday. And of course, we want to continue to be mindful of the missionary of the week that we have printed in our bulletin this week, being Gospel Echoes Prison Ministry. Of course, this has been a very complicated time for ministries like that, and actually for most of our ministries and missions and missionaries that we help to support. So, having said that, let's come to prayer then. Lord, we do want to rejoice with those that rejoice and pray that you will continue to be at work in among those that we have just mentioned, Carol and Jim and Barb. Ask your blessing upon them, that those procedures and those surgeries would continue to make a difference, and that you would be at work in their behalf. We also pray for Mary, that her surgery would go well this week. And we lift Tom before you, asking that you will work in his life, that he might experience you at work in body, soul, and spirit. And others, Lord, who are dealing with pain and waiting upon you for procedures that need to take place, we pray that you would be at work there, sustaining them and helping them as they wait for things to be scheduled or for approval to be given. And we do want to continue to remember those that we help to support in various ministries, and especially Gospel Echoes Prison Ministries right now. And we pray that you will guide them in their outreach. And we do rejoice that even though a lot of the face-to-face stuff has come to a halt for a time, yet the Bible lessons are there for many behind prison bars to take advantage of. So please be with folks that are exposed to your word, that this might be a positive kind of infection, Lord, that will spread through those prisons and make an incredible difference for you. At the same time, we want to remember especially the candle messenger, and ask that you would work in his behalf and grant him grace and help him to know you more and more. And we just pray for our prison chaplains and all those that are on the front lines there, that you would bless them and be at work. We continue to pray for your intervention regarding the entire COVID situation, and for those that are at work in so many regards, some in medical situations, hospitals, some making decisions at government levels. Grant them wisdom. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the elders as we meet again, Lord willing, on Saturday. And we just pray for your guidance and direction regarding our own context here. So, we rejoice in you. We thank you that you are great enough for all of our needs and all of our concerns, and trust that you will be at work here and around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, another great hymn of the faith. Diane?
As we heard today, this fifth commandment is the first one that comes with a promise. We can rely on God's promises. Let's sing together, Standing on the Promises.
Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.